At 8 o'clock, it's currently 73 degrees under partly sunny skies. Good morning, I'm Brett Johnson with KJAN News. Today we are looking for some scattered showers and storms. Not a real good chance, though, otherwise should be mostly sunny with a high of 93 degrees. In the news this morning, a state investigation shows a Mills County clerk hired to replace an embezzler ended up stealing about $37,000 in auto fees that were to be paid to the county and the state. Deputy State Auditor Warren Jenkins explains the scheme.
She would either collect money for issuing license plate tags or for vehicle registrations. And once that was done, they collected the money from people. She would void them out so the system did not show money being owed, and she would pocket the money.
Tammy Gammon began working in the Mills County Treasurer's Office in 2003. She was fired in April of last year after she admitted to the theft. The audit reviewed records from the last 6 years of her employment, and Jenkins says 182 people in Mills County were driving around with expired plates at some point because they paid for annual fees to Gammon, and then she'd pocketed the money herself.
If somebody got stopped by law enforcement, had their registration checked, found out it was invalid, but the law enforcement would tell them to just talk to the treasurer's office. There were opportunities that it could have been caught earlier, but no one circumstance was deemed to be serious enough that they looked at a system-wide problem.
Gammon, who lives in Glenwood, will be charged with first-degree theft, forgery, misconduct in office, and an ongoing criminal conduct. The Omaha World Herald reports the Congress on Friday threw out rules barring homeowners from collecting on flood insurance policies that became effective after the declaration of a flood in progress. Lawmakers left intact the requirements that policies be purchased at least 30 days before a property is damaged. The change addresses a somewhat quirky conundrum that arose during last summer's slow-developing flood along the Missouri River in western Iowa and eastern Nebraska. Some homeowners purchased flood insurance in early May in the belief that as long as their home stayed dry for the 30-day period, their policies would be honored. Agents selling the policies in western Iowa and eastern Nebraska had told their clients their coverage would be effective after 30 days. But the Federal Emergency Management Agency declared the disaster a flood in progress on June 1st of last year. Under agency rules, insurance policies not already in effect 30 days before that date were considered invalid for damage from the flood event, even if the water arrived in August. Two men, including one from Atlantic, were injured during the crash of a single-engine aircraft on Friday evening in Pottawatomie County. The crash was reported just after 8:30 p.m. at a residence about 6 miles northwest of Griswold. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Denker told KJAN News the plane was taking off from a private grass runway east of the residence following an aircraft fly-in type event when that accident occurred.
Apparently the owner, who's 75, of Atlantic, passenger I believe is 59, also from the Atlantic area, they're attempting to take off. I believe the plane stalled, went down, and basically flopped over.
There were injuries, but they were not believed to be life-threatening.
Possible injury to the pilot was a broken femur. I believe the passenger did not have serious injuries either. So it appears like they were both non-life-threatening, both were able to talk. So very fortunate that there was nothing more serious than that.
Both men were transported by Griswold Rescue to the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Their names likely will not be released until Monday. Cass County Board of Supervisors on Friday appointed Kenny Harrison of Oneida to the Cass County Commission of Veterans Affairs. The board had been set to appoint Steve Livingood of Atlantic to the post, but Supervisor Frank Waters mentioned Harrison's interest in serving on the commission. Livingood said he considered serving on the post of duty, but he says he would give up the position if someone else was interested, which was the case. The supervisors appointed Harrison in an attempt to better balance persons on the county serving on boards. Supervisor Chuck Reakin said a balance in representing other areas of the county is important, as is meeting mandatory gender balancing as set forth by the state of Iowa.
On a lot of these boards, we used to have more of a balance within the county and Oneida representation, or Cumberland, Messina, and Griswold, and in the Lyota area, and sometimes that balance gets a little out, and not necessarily because of any particular reason, other than maybe sometimes we don't have somebody in those areas that want to do that, or we don't find the right person, and there's people up here that are willing to do that, and so that's how that happens sometimes. And it's not because anybody's not doing a good job.
In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors approved a resolution to approve the appointment of Audubon County Attorney Francine Anderson as Deputy County Attorney for Cass County. During times when Cass County Attorney Dan Feisner is absent or when a case presents a conflict of interest. Feisner said he and Anderson have a good working relationship, as these types of arrangements are not all that uncommon between county attorneys.
She's willing to do that, so again, it's just on as-needed basis if something were to come up.
The Iowa Supreme Court says attorneys have a duty to provide new evidence uncovered during trial to the opposing side, but concluded judges have discretion on what to do when evidence is turned over. The case involves Misty Whitley of Marengo, who was left with eye problems after laser surgery in 2005. She sued a Cedar Rapids pharmacy, and during the pharmacy's trial, the attorneys withheld new evidence they had discovered. The court finds that the pharmacy's attorney should have disclosed the information. It upholds the judge's decision not to throw out the evidence or grant a new trial as Whitley's attorney requested. The judge allowed Whitley's attorney time to question additional witnesses. Justices ruled the decisions were reasonable at the time. The online world will have to wait until next season to watch a famous Northeast Iowa Eagle family. A TV station in Mason City says the Raptor Resource Project is turning off the Decorah Eagle Cam today. The website that allows people to watch the American bald eagle family has been viewed over 270 million times. The nest is in a tree at the Decorah Fish Hatchery. The Iowa Department of Public Safety has ordered an end to electrical inspections on Iowa farms. But the president of the Iowa Senate says the Branstad administration is breaking the law. Earlier this year, the governor asserted that Iowa law exempts farms from inspections ordered by the Electrical Examining Board. Branstad says farmers have safety inspections on their own farms and grain bins for the years.
Well, the Electrical Board did an end run around the law by specifically circumventing the intent of the legislature when they exempted farmers. And what we're doing is protecting farmers against overreach by an agency.
And now taking a look at world and national headlines on KJAN. A wave of violent storms sweeping through the mid-Atlantic has killed two people outside Washington, and a state of emergency has been declared in West Virginia. The storms knocked out power to more than 2 million people. Washington, D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, Indiana, and Ohio were affected. Forecasters say the heat wave in the region will continue today. Mohamed Morsi has been sworn in as Egypt's president, succeeding Hosni Mubarak, who was ousted 16 months ago. Morsi took the oath before the Supreme Constitution Court in their Nile-side courthouse built to resemble an ancient Egyptian temple. He becomes Egypt's fifth head of state since the overthrow of the monarchy some 60 years ago and the Arab world's first freely elected Islamist president. International envoy Kofi Annan is warning that history will judge us all harshly if the international community fails to do something to end Syria's violence. Annan conveyed closed-door talks among the major powers in Geneva today to discuss ways to end violence and ease President Bashar Assad out of office. And Rodney King's funeral is today in Los Angeles. The Reverend Al Sharpton will deliver the eulogy. King's death in a swimming pool is being treated as an accidental drowning, but authorities are awaiting autopsy results. Taking a look now at our funeral announcements on KJAN, 96-year-old Elsie Onken of Greenfield died on Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Elsie Onken will be held this morning at 10 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. 74-year-old Delbert Gaines of Omaha and formerly from Atlantic died on June 4th at Burge and Mercy Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Delbert Gaines will be held this morning at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. 85-year-old Lloyd Schroeder of Atlantic died on May 23rd at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A memorial service for Lloyd Schroeder will be held this morning from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. at the Marnie Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. 75-year-old Joyce Lewis of Panora died on June 25th at her home in Lakeland, Florida. A funeral service for Joyce Lewis will be held on Monday morning at 10 a.m. at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. 87-year-old Frank M. Jessen of Stewart died on Friday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Frank Jessen will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. 87-year-old Richard L. Morrill of Florida died on June 21st at VA Medical Center in Lake City, Florida. Funeral services for Richard L. Morrill are going to be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Gray United Methodist Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Ottoman has the arrangements. And 84-year-old Gloria Faye Erickson of Griswold died on Friday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services for Gloria Erickson will be held next Friday at 11 a.m. at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a check of our news on KJAN. For KJAN News, I'm Brett Johnson reporting.